Today's episode of Distorted View features additional content for Sideshow members only.
Ting.
Oh, mama. It's Sextastic Tuesday. On Distorted View.
We're the cocksuckers who can get your rocks off. How about it, stud? Are you looking for real men to bow and bend for? Latin lovers to give it to you real good. Big balls to fill your warm mouth. We've got it all. Every man for every pleasure. Discreet and intimate. Your hidden fetish is our little secret, and we want to fulfill it real bad. Get off with a well-hung stud. Enjoy uninhibited raunchy fun. We're greased for action, so call now.
All right.
We're waiting.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Hey, freaks, it's Tuesday, February 12th, 2008. Coming up on the program today, I'll show you how to make a fortune just by fondling toddlers from the comfort of your own home. Hi, I'm internet micro-celebrity Tim Henson, and I've recently found out about an amazing new system that not only will make you rich beyond your wildest dreams, but will also classify you as a level 3 sex offender by our government. Don't take my word for it, though. Listen to these testimonials.
My name is Carol. I lost my job 2 years ago. I was working in the cutlery industry, making great money, but I was laid off in a round of restructuring. I fell into a deep depression, and one night I saw internet micro-celebrity Tim Henson talking about this easy way to make cash just by sliding a finger or two inside of prepubescent girls for only a few hours a day. It seemed too good to be true, but now I'm making a six-figure income, I bought a Porsche, and I'm not allowed within 300 feet of most public parks and grade schools. I could retire early if I wanted to, but I'm having so much fun. Check out these sticky fingers. Does it smell like I'm ready to retire?
See, this is what I'm talking about when I say it's an amazing system. Using our patented three-step dream to achieve method, you'll be on your way to unimaginable riches, faster than you can say repressed memory. Step one, find a child. Step two, and this is where the magic of the system lies. Using the child you just abducted, sexually abuse them. It'll seem like every time you slide your finger out of their undercooked bacon hole, fistfuls of cash will come out with it. Step 3. Flee from the authorities. That's it! There's a gold mine in underage pussy. Don't you think it's time you started digging?
The proceeding was a paid advertisement.
I'm totally getting that put on shirts. There's a gold mine in underage pussy. Start digging. All right, hey freaks, Tim Henson with you. This is the Distorted View Show. Oh, we're not doing that. This is still the opening. Jesus Christ. I think we all have a good idea of how this show is going to go. It's Tuesday, February 12th, 2008. Coming up on the program today, I'm going to teach you how to dig for underage pussy, apparently. Plus, spam just got deadly and celebrity tit news. All of this plus a brand new edition of Sextastic Tuesday. It's coming up right here, right now, on an extended edition of Distorted View Daily.
It's the Distorted View Show with Tim Henson.
We're the cocksuckers who can get your rocks off. Discreet and intimate. I like how he really pronounces those two words. Discreet and intimate. Hey, freaks, Tim Henson with you. This is the Distorted View Show. Thank you guys so much for checking out the Tuesday podcast. I have a great show for you today. We're going to get it right into Sextastic Tuesday right now. I got to tell you, it's probably an awful story, but when I saw what it was about, there's no way that I cannot read it to you. It's the strangest. You would never think a sex story would be about this. We've read a lot of fan fiction stuff before, right? Like Sonic the Hedgehog porn. That was pretty weird, right? What else did we do? The Smurfs, sure. Transformers, Star Trek. All those are very strange things to base your sex stories on, fan fiction wise. But who would ever write a sex story about Night Court? You know, the 80s sitcom with Harry Anderson and the
dude who played Bull and the Black Bailiff and Marky Post and John Larroquette. To me, that does not even enter the realm of hot at all. I don't want to see any of those people have sex. Marky Post in her 80s mullet. It's a long sex story. I'm not going to read the whole thing. You just know it's going to be awful. This is really what I consider to be kamikaze Sextastic Tuesday. This right here is a suicide mission. I just have to read a little bit to you guys, and we'll see how it goes. Let's get into it right now. Sextastic Tuesday.
It's Sextastic.
Today's night court-themed Sextastic Tuesday story is entitled A Hung Jury. I don't know what's better, that one or my version. A listener also sent me in one right here. Listener said I shouldn't have to waste my breath on it myself. All right, so here we go. Night court, a hung jury. What's next, Mac? Judge Harry T. Stone twirled his gavel idly as the two hookers were taken away to the lockup. Last one of the night, Your Honor, the court clerk said, slipping the folder in front of the judge. Public indecency. I always like to go out with a bang, Mac, the judge said. Okay, Dan, what have we got here? Buns on the run or the whole hot dog? More like a cocktail Frank from the looks of them, the assistant district attorney said, approaching the bench. Dan Fielding was a tall, dark-haired man with a leer permanently etched on his face. The defendant, Fielding began, is one Peter Little. His eyebrows soared as he turned to the bedraggled man next to him, whose head came barely to Dan's shoulders. No, really? Hey, no jokes, the man snarled. I'm sick of people making fun of my name, picking on me, you know. I'm always getting the short end of the stick. Oh, there's the setup, and... I would have thought the short end was what you gave them, Dan said. Sorry. Took me a while to get to it. All right, enough of this. I'm bored. Let's fast forward a bit. Dan and Christine are bickering. Then they get ready to leave for the night. But Christine is stopped by Mac, who is interested in Christine. And Christine's interested in Mac. And then they're going to have sex. Basically, where we're going to pick up here. Mac's finger moved to her silken blouse, fumbling at the buttons until they popped loose. Christine shrugged off the sleeves and unhooked her bra, letting it slip down and expose the massive mounds, capped with rosy circles and stiffening little buds. Mac took each in one of his large hands, palming them, rubbing the sensitive nipples. Christine tugged his sweater and shirt out of his waistband and caressed his flat stomach. They kissed again greedily, so hard that flashing lights danced before Christine's closed eyes. And then Mac tore off his shirt and sweater and knelt before her. Gently, he unzipped her skirt and tugged it down. Then her pantyhose and panties. He put his face between her pale thighs and approached her musky slit. Yeah, I could see that. When I think of Marky Post's pussy, I definitely see it and smell a musky slit. Just because there's probably a lot of hair down there. Probably a couple stray, loose pubic hairs, like, stuck to her lips. All the secretions are keeping it stuck there. Ugh. Mac separated her labia with his fingers and slipped his hot tongue inside. Fluids gushed out of her as Christine's a gusher, as Christine shivered and shook to an instant orgasm. But Mac continued, teasing her opening, tickling her clit, driving her to new heights. I hope to God Bull interrupts them and sticks his shiny bald head in her pussy. She envisioned Mac's penis large, but even when it sprang free as he peeled off his slacks, she gasped. It was huge! 8 inches of thick, dark rod with a fat, bulbous head leering at her with its single eye. She spread her legs far apart and lay back on the desk, shoving all the papers to the floor. Put it in me, Mac, she begged, caressing her breast. Here it comes, he said in a quiet voice. See, I would have never thought this sex story would have been about Christine and Mac. I really would have thought it would be between Christine and Harry, or maybe Dan and Christine, or maybe a threesome, Dan, Harry, and Christine. Maybe a special appearance by Mel Torme, throwing his cock in there. You know how Harry loved Mel Torme. I can't believe I remember so much about Night Court. I didn't even like the show, really. All right, yes, take it all, Christine, Mac urged her. Let me feel it all in you, girl. That's how you write as a black man. You end everything with girl. It's very easy to write dialogue for black characters. You just end everything with girl. I'm going to the library, girl. My favorite author is Walt Whitman, girl. Also, to switch it up, you could end everything, instead of ending it with girl, you could end it with baby. I'm going to take you out to Denny's and order you a Grand Slam, baby. I have most of my funds with Fidelity, baby. Girl. My wife just had a baby girl. Girl. Baby. Shazam! You can also use Shazam to end certain sentences, but that's beyond the scope of this tutorial. Alright, back to the story here. She felt his hot jism blast into her as the thrashing waves of her orgasm receded. Christine opened her eyes and looked deep into Max. What she saw there made her mind reel. She kissed her way down his chest until she was kneeling before his sagging, shriveled cock. She looked up at him, her eyes wide. Opening her mouth, she bent and took him into her. Now, for you Night Court aficionados, super fans, you will remember that Mac actually had a wife, an Asian wife named Quan Lee. Well, Quan Lee walked in on Christine giving Mac a blowjob, and she stormed out in a rage. She ran to Harry in his chambers, and guess what they ended up doing? Let's fast forward to that point and briefly pick up the story. At this point, Harry Anderson is asleep, so he doesn't know what's going on. She stroked the judge's cock. Quan Lee's other hand caressed her own sex until it was hot and wet and ready. She raised her hand to her face and sniffed, intoxicated with the scent of her own liquor. That's a pretty good line. For one last moment, she looked down at Judge Harry. Then, in a rushed decision, the small Asian woman yanked down his pants and briefs. Instantly, his cock sprung free. At 6 or 7 inches, it was neither as long nor as large as Max, but it would have to do. In an instant, she grasped his cock, raised it to her tunnel, and drove it in. She was so fast that Harry was still blinking his eyes when his rod entered her. Quan Lee! Quan Lee! He tried to rise, but with her sitting on his waist, he was pinned to the couch. Quan Lee, what are you doing?
I'm fucking you, Judge Harry, she said simply. Mac fucked Christine, so I fuck you. Fair is fair.
I don't know if that's how she talked on the show, but that's how you do all Asian voices.
I'm fucking you, Harry!
Already she was riding him, her tight, slick cunt sliding up and down his rock-hard pole.
But Quan Lee,
Mac fucking Christine, really?
Really, Harry? I start in the courtroom!
Christine, are you sure? But even as he asked, Harry was beginning to respond to her motion, bucking his hips up to piston his cock into her.
You like my tits? She asked.
Harry managed to answer in between groans, yes. Oh God, Quan Lee.
You like to fuck me, I think.
It's kind of like now she's Mexican.
Andale, I think. I don't know. You like to fuck me. Arriba.
She said, grinding her cunt to the base of his cock.
I like to fuck you, Harry. You're such a good ray.
I don't know. A wild shiver turned her body into jello. It was an orgasm like never before. And when it was over, she sank back down into the judge's cock and let herself fall onto his chest, her breath coming in heavy gasps. But Harry was still hard. He tried to again stick his dick in her pussy, but Quan Lee said,
No! No, Harry! Fucky! Fuck me in the ass!
He did, curling his long body over hers as he plunged into her asshole. At last he began to moan, louder and louder, and Quan Lee could feel him growing thicker, pushing her asshole to the limit. I don't know, when I read that, I immediately thought Danger Zone, Kenny Loggins, pushing her asshole to the limit. And then he burst inside of her, and they collapsed on the sweat-soaked cushions. Quan Lee was startled when she heard the sound of applause. She looked up. It was Mac and Christine, standing just inside the door. As she looked into her husband's eyes, she hated him no longer. What happens when Joe and Brian run into financial problems? Lowell and Antonio come up with a wacky scheme to save the airline. A brand new Wings is next. And with that, let's get into the crazy, bizarre, twisted, effed up news right now. Fucking
weird show we got going here today. If you're not a member of the Distorted View Sideshow, sign up now. $5 a month, $50 a year. Today I've got an extended show for you Sideshow Freaks. Along with extended programs, I also do video casts for you. You get full access to the DV archives. You guys know the drill. If you're not a member, sign up now. Support the show. Would really appreciate it. SuperFreakSideshow.com. First story we have for you today comes from Massachusetts. A convicted level 3 sex offender is now $10 million richer. He fucked his way to a comfortable lifestyle, and so can you. No, actually, he won a $10 million lottery payout. 56-year-old Daniel Snay could now face charges because he failed to notify authorities that he had moved. This guy cannot catch a fucking break. First of all, he's in Connecticut raping some 8-year-old or something, and he decides to start fresh, move to Massachusetts, where his luck finally starts to change. He wins $10 million, and now he's getting in trouble for it because he moved and violated his parole or something. I'm flabbergasted, Connecticut State Police Lieutenant Paul Vance told the Telegram. His whereabouts, until you told me about this, have been unknown to us, but I guess you could say he's very fortunate. He certainly is. Snay works driving trucks for a yacht dealership. He won the $10 million from a $20 scratch ticket purchased at Cumberland Farms in Hopedale, but the lottery winnings also come with unwanted publicity. Unwanted? I want everyone to know. See what happens to good people? Nothing! Fucking rape some chick, and God has showered me with cash.
Coming up on News Channel 10, first he molested underage girls, now he's $10 million richer.
I guess you could say he won the lottery twice.
I guess so.
This plus your AccuWeather forecast tonight at 11. How many times can I possibly play the Night Court theme on today's show? Keep listening and find out with me. Honestly, I don't know what the hell's going on with today's show. Quote, he was concerned, but there's not much you can do about it, said Snay's lawyer, Joseph M. Fabricati. He talked about it, and he understood this was one of the repercussions that could happen. Snay's record of sexual assaults date back to 1974. He's been convicted 6 times of indecent assault and battery in Massachusetts. Level 3 offenders are considered the most dangerous and the most likely to commit another crime. Well, you almost have to respect that, huh? He never gives up. He never surrenders. Ah, Corey Hart. One day I will find you and shake your hand and buy you a hot lunch, because you probably haven't eaten in a while. Give you a few bucks in that styrofoam cup of yours. Poor Corey Hart. Why did you surrender? You should never surrender. Never surrender! No one can take away your right to fight. So go on, never surrender. And don't forget your sunglasses. It's night after all. I know how you feel about wearing your sunglasses at night. Is anyone still listening to the show? I'm going on 4 minutes talking about Corey Hart. Second story we have for you today, email scam.
You guys. I'm bullshit. I'll be fine. Fuck you, you good in your life.
Oh no, you know what a post-Baywatch, pre-rehab David Hasselhoff means. It's time for Distorted Views, Access Entertainment, Hollywood News, Insider Report, Extra Edition tonight.
Celebrity. Michael Jackson. Entertainment. Implant. Hollywood.
Who is Angelina Jolie banging?
Extra.
Mayonnaise.
Breaking news, Dolly Parton has big tits. Guess this news story is for blind people, pretty much. Stevie Wonder, this one's for you, baby. Busty Dolly Parton reckons her amazing boobs are more famous than she is. She's actually even nicknamed them. The Twin Towers? No, that's just in bad taste. However, you're close. She nicknamed her tits Shock and Awe. The 62-year-old country star says they've been a massive asset to her career. Dolly said they do seem like public property. They have served me well, but I don't know if I'm supporting them or they're supporting me. Oh, wait. I have to get used to using that. Yes, Dolly says they serve me well, but I don't know if I'm supporting them or they're supporting me. She added, I've always had nice ones, but of course I've had them jacked up a bit. There you go. Good old Dolly. I kind of like her, actually. I don't really care about her music or anything. I just think, you know, she's a fun broad. Final story we have for you today. Do you remember the good old days of spam when the Nigerian prince or whatever would ask for your help? He would plead with you. He would say, you're the last... I'm turning to you because I've got no one else. You've got to help me, please. And while you're at it, do something about your small penis size. Horny chicks want to fuck on cam for you. Nowadays, though, the Nigerian prince simply threatens to kill you. It's a much more aggressive, direct way to your cash. Email scammers and spammers have long offered lavish rewards to those naive enough to post cash to spirit money out of a foreign country, what? Or to collect on a lottery ticket. Now cyber thieves are turning to a sharper edge, death threats, and outright extortion. Excellent. A woman who works downtown in St. Louis was told in an email Wednesday night that the sender had been paid by someone to kill her, but would renege for a price. I think we've read something like this on the show before. Maybe this type of unique marketing would work for a Distorted View. You will sign up for the sideshow, or I will shoot you in the back of the head. That's a Tim Henson promise. Ting! Hand over the $5, or I will eat your neck with my teeth. I need to work on my threats. Something. All right, part of the email said, I'm very sorry for you, my friend. It's a pity that this is how your life is going to end as soon as you don't comply. I don't have any business with you. My duty, as I am mailing you now, is just to kill / assassinate you. And I have to do it as I have already been paid for that. It continues, get back to me now if you're ready to pay some fees to spare your life. If you are not ready for my help, then I will carry on with my job straight up. The woman, Beverly Dew, who works in advertising sales at the Post-Dispatch in St. Louis, said she almost deleted the message before reading it. My first response was just to hit the reply button and say, you're sick. Typically, that's not the best way to communicate with someone who is going to kill you. Anyways, a copy of the email was sent to the FBI. Special Agent Zachary Lowe said warnings about the scam date to 2006, and such emails first showed up in St. Louis 6 to 8 months ago. Lowe said the early targets were white-collar workers like doctors and lawyers whose email addresses were easy to find in ads or directories who might have more reason to worry that the threat was real. But it's not, Lowe said. It's just a new type of fraud. The message comes from overseas, he said, with at least one trace to Eastern Europe. Fucking European Jews. I know it's them. Belgian Jews. No, Belgium, I guess, is in the northwest part of Europe. Makes no difference. It could be Belgian Jews who live in Lithuania. I'm calling the FBI. They need to investigate this. That, my friends, is your distorted news for Tuesday. Let's do a couple voicemails and get the hell out of here. Alrighty, let's just do a couple voicemails, check in with my freaky deekies.
Hey, Tim, it's Trent from Texas. I have some news for you you're probably going to be reading about in a little while.
Okay.
A friend of mine, she lives in Tennessee, got in a fight with her boyfriend's sister. Well, she got a little blazed and decided to take her truck, which is an F-250, that is jacked up 7 feet, and drive over
Bigfoot.
Her boyfriend's sister's Camaro several times, flattening it. I thought you'd think that was pretty funny, because I thought it was fucking hilarious. Alright, Tim, have a good day, man.
Well, thank you very much.
Hey, Tim, come on, I'm going to go up to the girl and say, you know what I'm going to say?
Wait, what?
Hey, Tim, come on, I'm going to go up to the girl and say, you know what I'm going to say?
I can't understand you, mush mouth.
Hey, Tim, come on, I'm going to go up to the girl and say, you know what I'm going to say?
Oh, he's going to go up to a girl and say something?
To the girl and say, you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say, give me a blow.
Wow. Thank you for that pointless phone call.
Hey, Tim, what's up, man? It's Ty from Denver here. I just want to let you know I got the sideshow as a present for Christmas.
Woohoo!
And unfortunately, they gave me cash. And when you get cash, I usually spend it on chronic, in which I did.
Oh.
But now I got my tax refund, so I have a little bit more. So I will be signing up for the sideshow tonight.
Yay.
I'm looking forward to it. Other than that, I was wondering, you know, sometimes I wonder if you're like a Bengals fan or a OSU fan, being that you're an Ohio guy.
Yes.
And then I heard you talk about Chris Berman and how he was possibly a former ABC NFL commentator for Monday Night Football. And I realized I don't watch too much football. Later.
No, I don't. It's Chris Berman. Berman? Who the fuck cares? I can never pronounce any name correct, whether it be a football guy or otherwise.
At least I'm not going to die because I'm a careless fairy.
Careless fairy? I am a man. I am a man. I watch sports, just not football. I watch bowling. Do you know who Pete Weber is? Huh? Only the greatest bowler ever, PDW. That is Peter David Weber. If you don't know Pete, I sure think you know his father, Dick Weber. Come on. Legend. There would be no PBA without Dick Weber, okay? All right. So don't question my masculinity when it comes to sports.
Tone? Where's Tone at? Tone? Tone?
Hey, Tim. It's Jay from Dayton. I'm sure that all the EV listeners are, you know, familiar with your stance on old people and how you feel about them.
Right.
But I was just doing the math, and I realized how old your parents are. And I was wondering if they were, you know, aware of the fact that you were planning on murdering them soon.
Why would I tell them that I'm going to kill them? Element of surprise? Oh, freaks, you have a lot to learn. All right.
Hey, Timmy, what's up? It's Zan.
Zan!
Hey, it's now February. And
my buddy Zan from Chicago.
And I'm still hearing Christmas shoes on the voicemail line.
Make it stop,
this
Zan.
This got me to thinking. I thought I'd come up with a sex term for you today.
Oh.
And it's called Christmas shoes.
Christmas shoes. All right, bizarre sex term time.
Bizarre sex terms, yeah.
Oh, what is he coming at me?
All right, this is Zan's sex term based on Christmas shoes, called Christmas shoes.
Now, here's what you need. This is what you're going to do.
I'm assuming you're going to need some Christmas shoes and a woman who is dying of cancer who has a little baby.
Crowbar and a boombox.
Oh.
What you're going to do is take the crowbar and break into someone's house. You sneak up into their bedroom, set down the boombox next to their bed, press play. It's going to play Christmas
shoes.
The next thing that you do is violate the shit out of that person.
With a crowbar?
What's going to happen is this person's going to be so traumatized from the event that they're never, ever going to want to hear that song ever again. And if they do ever tell anybody, it's going to make the news, and the media is going to say someone got raped to Christmas shoes, and that song will never air.
That's true.
Ever again.
At least in one household it won't.
That's Christmas shoes. Hope you enjoy.
All right. Bizarre sex term from our good friend Zan. That's all the time we have on this edition of Distorted View. Want you guys to email me, show at distortedview.com. Distortedview.com is our official website. Voicemail line for you, 206-666-4463. That's 206-660-GOD, as in, oh, God.
You can never surrender. And if your path won't lead you home, you can never surrender.
Vote for us, podcast alley. Subscribe by iTunes. Dig us on dig.com. If you guys are Sideshow members, stick around for extended content. Otherwise, we can see you back tomorrow for the Big Wednesday show. Until then, you guys have a great day. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
You hear me? You have got the devil inside you!
Please don't hit
me! You are full of sin and disease!